Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres play the rubber match against the Cubs at Petco. And while our hosts will prepare you for that, they'll also spend some time debating whether or not I should be calling the show Agler and Grace or Grace and Agler.
What about the way it's worded, more importantly?
Worded properly.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
All right, let's try
You just
got
to find the emphasis of where the major part of the note is.
You don't want the emphasis to be on the wrong syllable.
And along with syntax and grammar, our hosts will also be worrying about pants, or possibly no pants.
We're somewhat exposed here physically.
Yes.
Like, we don't have a desk to hide behind.
We have to wear pants.
Or a table. Right, I can't go pantsless. I can't wear a bathing suit or anything like that, nor can you.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, in alphabetical order, Jesse Agler and Mike Grace.
Who turned off the Louisville-Clemson game?
What's going to happen?
Pomerantz is going to be upset as he prepares for Padres Live, pregame show.
Right.
Mike Pomerantz, a star pitcher at Clemson University.
Wow.
If you're listening on the radio or watching online, what in God's name are they talking about on Fox Sports San Diego? We apparently just cut into the ACC baseball tournament, which I believe is taking place in Durham, North Carolina, Louisville and Clemson, and now we've left a bunch of Louisville and Clemson fans in San Diego hanging. And we apologize to both of you. For the Padre fans, though, we've got Padres Social Hour. That's Mike Grace. I'm Jesse Agler. We're in the AMR studio here at Petco Park. Doesn't matter anyway because the Canes are going to win the ACC tournament. Yeah, you know.
Whoever's going to get let down by getting beat by your team, right?
Exactly. It's just it's the path to that sort of thing. Last night, the Cubs, a 3-2 win over the Padres, and that means we get to use our favorite term today, rubber match.
Rubber match.
Padres and the Cubs going for the series victory tonight, and the Padres, after this game, will bus up to Los Angeles, as Bud Selig would say, and take on the Dodgers for three, and then down to Anaheim for three more. And this feels like, let's win this one, man. And I know that's the feeling every day, but I'm really feeling it particularly strongly here this evening.
Yeah, it's that sense of treading water, which you felt like this team's been doing for a while, kind of hovering around that 500 mark, and you win this one, you get back to 500, maybe you get a little momentum going in to play the Dodgers, the division rival Dodgers. So win this game, especially if you can get a win out of a Despaigne start the way he's been pitching recently, I think that would really give a lift to this ball club.
I don't think there's any question. So it's Despaigne tonight. Last night, of course, was Tyson Ross. And then two nights ago in the first game of the series, a win for the Padres, it was James Shields. So Shields went 7 in the first game of the series on Tuesday night. Last night, Tyson Ross went 7 innings. Do you know that this is the first time, I had to double check this, the first time since April 14th and 15th that the Padres had starting pitchers go 7 innings in back-to-back starts?
I saw the same thing you did, and that is pretty shocking. But then the other thing I heard today was that the Padres lead either the National League or the league in quality starts, which tells you one a lot about that stat. But
that was a Friar figure.
Love Friar figures. And so it's just, it's so bizarre. This whole season has just been so bizarre that, one, this team is leading in quality starts,
which is 6 innings and 3 or fewer runs, right?
Earned runs.
Earned
that.
Runs,
so
yeah.
I think that's a big part of it, is that there's been a lot of unearned runs, especially in Cashner starts and things like that. So you hear that, you would think the record would be much better, but it's not. So, yeah, the expectations of this pitching staff have obviously not been met. And last night, 2 back-to-back 7 inning starts kind of shows that they haven't lived up to expectations.
And that's, again, that's that line for quality starts. It's 6 or more innings pitched. So you can go 6 and allow 3 earned runs, and that's a quote-unquote quality start. It's a little bit of a made-up stat. I guess a lot of stats are, but it's a little bit of a made-up thing, but that's sort of what it is. But, yeah, Friar Figures tweeted that out earlier today. 26 quality starts out of Padres starting pitchers this year, most in all of baseball. And yeah, you would think, okay, if I'm leading the league in quality starts, I should probably be near the top of the league in wins, and that's not the case.
And especially when your team is scoring runs. They're still, what, 3rd in the National League in runs scored? So it really just doesn't make a ton of sense. It's just, I think it's one, all the blowout losses have really made things confusing when you're trying to just look at it from a number sense. Like, we watch the games every day, so we know what has happened, what hasn't happened. But when you go back in history and you have to look through box scores and things like that and try to figure out what numbers mean, this is a very, very weird year.
It is, and I think part of it might be that you've had a lot of the blowout games one way or the other. Now, the last two nights against the Cubs, they've both been close games. They've both been entertaining games, one-run games, all that kind of thing. But, you know, as you've watched the games this year, when the Padres, generally speaking, have won, they've won big. And so, okay, you get the quality start there and everything's happy. Or they've lost big, in which case, well, okay, maybe you do get the quality start, but you ain't scoring any runs, and so it doesn't end up mattering. Because if you gave up three earned and you're getting shut out or you're scoring one, that's no good. So, I think that's kind of what it is. And that's why it's been a little bit refreshing, maybe, I guess, to have those close games each of the last 2 days. But that's the way that thing sets up. Meanwhile, before we go any further, I want to let you know Clemson finished off Louisville, right? 7-1.
Wow.
That was the final score from the ACC baseball tournament.
I felt a comeback coming on, so I'm glad you gave me the update.
I didn't want anybody left hanging that was maybe watching and banging on their televisions to know what happened in the final moments of the Clemson-Louisville game. But the Tigers hang on to beat the Cardinals 7-1.
Blooper was their version of Heidi.
Yeah, Heidi Bowl here, Jets-Raiders. Do you not know that story, Blooper? He just gave us a look.
He's a very young man.
I do not know what that is.
So the kids today, they don't know these things. So you got to go back. It was like in the 60s, right? 70s, maybe?
70s, I think.
All right, so it was in the 70s. So it was like a Jets-Raiders game. And now he knows. Now he knows.
NBC. It was the Super Bowl, right?
No, it was not. Those two teams could not meet in a Super Bowl.
Oh, that's
they
were fair.
Both in the AFL or the AFC later.
I want to say it was at least a playoff game, though, right?
It might have been a playoff game. Somebody Google Heidi Bowl, for goodness sakes. We'll get all the full details later. We'll Wikipedia for you. But anyway, NBC, I believe. Maybe CBS. No, I think it was NBC. They cut into the exciting conclusion of that game to show Heidi. The movie Heidi.
The film.
Right. It was like it was a big game and everything like that.
It is a film, not a movie.
Oh,
please.
Really?
Yes. Well, high art, you call it a film.
Heidi is high art?
Absolutely. If it's going to cut into an NFL football game, it has to be.
I don't know about that. I think it was just a bad decision by network programmers.
You're probably right.
Speaking of television, did you watch The Last Letterman last
night? Oh, I did. I watched it after I got home from the ball game, and I haven't watched a lot of Letterman in recent years, just the baseball world, what it is. But, man, he was my guy growing up out of all the late-night guys, and so I didn't get emotional, but I enjoyed the heck out of that show. That was really, really special to watch.
That's nicely said. It was good. That was good television. Unlike this, that was really, really good TV.
It was.
That was really, really good TV. So I bring it up for a couple of reasons. One, like you, huge Letterman guy. That's it, right? You're either a Letterman guy or you were a whatever guy.
Mm-hmm.
But we were Letterman guys, both of us, it sounds
absolutely.
Like. And so... not only do I bring it up because of that, but also because the Padres single-A affiliate, the Fort Wayne Tin Caps, they did a fun thing yesterday. So they're in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and if you know anything about David Letterman, you know that he hails from the Hoosier State, and he loves all things Indiana.
Yep.
So I thought, you know, look, the Tin Caps, like many minor league baseball teams, are always doing things to try and get a little bit of attention, get a few extra butts in the seats, and I thought this was a nice move by the Tin Caps yesterday. They offered David Letterman, now that he's retired, an internship with them for the season. Come to Fort Wayne, be our intern. So they wrote him a very lovely letter, and then they also supplied their very own top 10 list. Top 10 reasons why David Letterman should intern with the Fort Wayne Tin Caps. And you can read the full list at the FireWire blog, padres.firewire.com. I'll give you a couple of them, though.
Yeah, just the highlights.
Whet your appetite a little bit. Number 10, you'll be paid in cotton candy.
Ooh.
And, I mean, really, who wouldn't love that? Who wouldn't love that?
Blooper would be a big fan.
Number 7 is Parkview Field, which is where the Tin Caps play. It's close to Ball State, so you can check out the building they named after you. Dave Letterman, of course, went to Ball State. Like Louisville, they're the Cardinals.
That's right.
Really tie it all together right there. Number 4, chance to do slip and slide on tarp during rain delay. Who wouldn't want to do all of that? Most of our in-game promotions already qualify as stupid human tricks. That's a good one.
That's very good.
That's minor league baseball right there. So anyway, that's on the FireWire blog. You can check it out. But a nice job by the Tin Caps putting together a top 10 reasons why David Letterman should head their direction for a summer internship. One other thing a little bit on the personal side. Blooper, can you pull up the tweet there? So I told you, I was a big Letterman guy when I was a kid. So I had a correspondence, and Dave and Paul Schaefer both were nice enough to send back autographed pictures to 12-year-old Jesse, which was a very lovely thing. And as you can see, if you're eagle-eyed, Dave Letterman misspelled my name, which was really awesome. Paul got it right, but Letterman misspelled my name. And even that as like a 12-year-old, and that's pretty devastating when you're 12, right?
Right.
Like your
Absolutely.
Hero, one of your guys that you really look up to, you get this exciting package in the mail, and he misspells your name. Even that couldn't stop me from being a Letterman guy.
Not only that, he's holding a baseball bat. I mean,
Perfect.
Everything that you loved as a kid, right?
That's it, man. Baseball and Letterman. It was a very nice thing.
So. 1998, when we were in the World Series, I got to meet Biff Henderson. He came down and did his Biff thing, and one of the highlights of my baseball career was hanging out with Biff.
At the World Series.
At the World Series.
I mean, what could be bad?
Oh, he's the best.
That's pretty cool.
He's funny.
All right, so speaking of Twitter, by the way, remember you can join us by using the hashtag PadresSH. That's the way you tweet to the show, questions, comments, all that kind of good stuff. You can also go to Padres.com/social hour to watch the show and participate in a live chat. So that's the social media piece of this whole thing. Speaking of social media, if you follow Cespedes Family Barbecue, you know what I'm talking about. Really, really good, creative, clever, fun baseball talk from these guys. If you don't follow them, do yourself a favor and do so. It's these two knucklehead kids that go to WashU in St. Louis, which is a fine academic institution, mind you. This is a good school. So these aren't dummies.
Okay.
And they're huge baseball fans, and they're always tweeting very funny things about baseball. And they are beginning tonight a West Coast baseball tour. They'll take in tonight's game here at Petco Park. They're going up to see the Storm tomorrow, Lake Elsinore, one of the great minor league facilities in America.
Yep.
And the two kids, Jake and Jordan, who run the account, are we allowed to say your real names?
Yeah, okay.
They're here. They're here. And when we come back, they're going to sit on the couch with us. You're going to be really jammed in with them.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
We don't often do the three-person couch, but we're going to with Cespedes Family Barbecue coming up in just a few moments. Next Saturday's Baseball Night in San Diego giveaway features a Matt Kemp Padres replica camo jersey presented by Petco. It is free for every fan in attendance. Get your tickets for the May 30th game against Pittsburgh at Padres.com and walk away with your very own camo Kemp jersey. Maybe that night we'll spell camo with a K because of Kemp.
Oh.
Yes. We'll take a break, come back. Cespedes Family Barbecue is going to join us. Padres Social Hour presented by United.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
We've got a couple of bona fide celebrities here. Jeff Garland and Sean Green, and maybe they're going to stop by later.
They might come say hello.
We
prefer the term famish.
Famish. Internet famous is another one.
Sure.
Jake and Jordan are here, Cespedes Family Barbecue. First of all, please let me correct the record. Only one of you goes to WashU.
Yes.
Washington University in St. Louis, and that's you.
That's me.
You.
Yeah.
Blue shirt, and you are Jake.
I'm Jake. I have the honor of living in St. Louis 8 months out of the year.
Yeah, no, tremendous place. And Jordan, where do you attend
I attend the College of Worcester in Worcester, Ohio. Worcester, Ohio, also a pleasure to be there. Negative 10-degree weather.
Yeah, no. Yeah, but, you know, that intersection, though, it's you get
no
to go home
doubt.
And
a
you don't have to worry
American
about it.
True American populace, Worcester,
yes.
Ohio.
Absolutely. Yes. So you guys are massive baseball fans.
Yes.
Absolutely. Massive. I mean, these guys, and that's what I like, is that on the Twitter account, you really, really care and love the game of baseball. And I'm about to sound like an old person,
sure.
But it's nice seeing, like, young guys, like I was in college, like, super obsessed with the game, and that encourages me. So you're doing this trip. I'm gonna plug this correctly. And you're writing about it for Baseball Prospectus. And tonight is stop one.
Yep.
Now, do both of you do the account at once? How do we share tweeting duties? How does that work?
Well, we decided that, hey, we should have one account. We both have access to it. We have our location on, especially when we're at school, so
right.
People can know, oh, that's Jake tweeting, that's Jordan tweeting. Oh, Jake, he messed up a little bit of grammar. We know that's him.
That's usually me.
That's usually
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
But no, we both have access to the account. It's been more fun, and it can create a lot of confusing hijinks when we're tweeting at ourselves.
Especially, yeah, it looks like we're tweeting back and forth. We might appear a little bit schizophrenic, which right. we are, but there's two schizophrenic people,
yes.
not just one.
Right.
Yeah.
So how many does that make total? Two schizophrenic people.
Like
how many personalities
half,
are we talking
17,
about?
18? Yeah.
How many personalities?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So tonight you're here at Petco Park. Have you ever been to Petco Park before?
First time at Petco Park. My first time in San Diego.
Very
yes.
cool.
I've been to San Diego when I was 13, but I have not been here before. Very exciting.
That does not count. All right, very nice.
No,
you get to take in a big league ball game, and you get to see Odorizzi Mairdespagne pitch.
Huge fan.
All the arm angles.
He's the only player on the San Diego Padres who has the letters to San Diego Padres in his name.
There you go. That's the kind of stuff you get when you follow Cespedes Family Barbecue.
Let me tell you, when I found that fun fact, I was like, this is it. This is yep. the one. I should just shut it down after this.
Yeah, that should have been it.
The genesis of the Twitter handle is what?
So, Yoenis Cespedes, the beautiful Cuban outfielder for the Detroit Tigers, he when he was coming up out of Cuba, he went to the Dominican, and he released a prospect video. And most of these prospect videos are 3 minutes long, a little bit of hitting, a little bit of throwing. His was 20 minutes long, and it was mostly him working out. And then at the end, there was a clip of him dancing with his mother, a clip of him thanking NFL football player Amon Green, and then it ended with him roasting a live pig over an open spit with his family in the background. And it kind of captured the absurdity, the hilarity, and the kind of awesomeness that we see in baseball. So that's kind of the genesis behind it.
Sure, we saw it, and then that's a Cespedes family barbecue.
Right there. We didn't get invited, but we're hoping we will to the next
in the future.
One.
Yes,
yeah, no, indeed. To the next Cespedes family barbecue.
Yes.
No, that's great. Having going to school in St. Louis, I'm guessing you get a firsthand view of the best fans in baseball and all that they have to offer.
Now you're just trying to push my buttons.
What? Mm-hmm. Come on.
They are the best fans. I mean, they are the best. I'm sorry to every other fan base, but they're the best. They smell the best. They can all sing. They all love their mothers so dearly, and they do community service every day, so they have to be the best fans of baseball.
Do you guys ever get into any Twitter battles with the other fun accounts like Old Hoss Radburn or these guys, baseball's best fans? I mean, who are you battling with out there?
Sure. Hey, we have a very solid relationship with Old Hoss.
Yep.
Old Hoss,
we go way back.
Yes. He goes way back.
Like 1800s?
18th century,
go all the way back to 1995.
Sure. I think we've actually managed to have really stable relationships with all of our other friends in the baseball Twitter community.
So that's interesting. If we were to start a beef with somebody, I mean, or if you were to start a beef with somebody, who would be a good target, you think?
That's a great question.
Start a beef with someone.
I mean, because really, what's Twitter good for if it's not good for, like, yelling at people?
I say we go after Brandon McCarthy just because he's a Dodger.
Right.
He's
sure.
Clever.
That.
Sure, yeah. He's comes after
Kanye?
Us sometimes. Yeah,
Kanye doesn't tweet that often. So he's not going to come back hard at us.
Right.
You think about it like
you can
that.
Just keep throwing at him.
Imagine if Major League umpires were on Twitter. West had a Twitter account
they're not public.
Sure.
Yeah. I would love for there to be a way. We've had a couple of questionable ejections in the last couple of weeks over Major League Baseball. I would love for there to be a way to toss people from Twitter. Because we get responses sometimes, and it's like, man.
That was really bad.
These people. Well,
you have the block button.
Sure. We use the mute and block button very sparingly.
Yeah.
That's a privilege, and not we don't want to just abuse it like crazy. We know some people that do, and I don't blame them for sure. But I think we need a more creative way. I would have much more fun
It's certainly a live and let live type policy.
All right. That's very democratic of you.
Absolutely. Now, one of you guys is a Mariner fan, right?
Yes,
that's you.
I am.
Are you aware and do you support the Vetter Cup between the Padres and the Mariners?
Hey, it's coming here for the first time. Whenever the Mariners come here, we're going to be in Safeco in a couple weeks. I'm going to be there for the first time. Very excited for that. It's a strange rivalry for sure. The interleague.
What do you mean? It's natural.
It's not right. Yeah. I'm a huge fan. I mean, I've always enjoyed watching the Padres, especially lately.
Didn't they change the name of those to the Seth Smith Bowl?
Oh, right. Now, I mean.
The Mauer Smith Cup is what's
I mean,
now
that's
being
huge nationally. They talk about that on SportsCenter. I mean,
I heard Skip Bayless talking about it this morning.
And nothing else.
Right.
It was dominating the conversation.
I heard him screaming about it this morning.
Right.
More accurate.
Sure.
How many total stops on this trip? So it starts tonight, Cubs and Padres. Mm-hmm. It concludes June 7th, as you guys take in both games or two games between the Rays and the Mariners. So in between now and June 7th, how many ball games?
Between now and June 7th, it'll be either 18 or 17 games in 18 days. There's one day where we're not seeing a game because, the drive from San Francisco to Portland, kind of far.
Yeah.
When you type that into Google Maps, it's pretty far.
Right, we're from Maryland where we're used to states that are like, it takes an hour to get out of the
Philadelphia's
state.
2.5
hours
away.
Right. And California is a different
It's a large state.
Sure.
It's nearly the entire West Coast.
Yeah.
If you look at a map, you got little Oregon, little Washington up there.
You guys have the eighth largest GDP in the world.
That's it.
Right. So that's tough. That's the long drive.
I'm learning so much right now. This is unbelievable.
I told you they were smart.
Well, you just dropping the geography on us. That was impressive
No, man. You look at a map, it's big. You can see that.
I never thought about it before.
Alaska, the biggest state by geographical surface.
I didn't know where Oregon was before I sat down, and now I do.
It's on top of California.
That's something I'm going to take away from this experience.
Yeah, that
tweet
so
about
much
it for
I'll
us.
Tweet. Now I know where Oregon is.
So you're mixing in big league games and minor league games, which I like. You've seen the storm a couple of times. You'll love the place tomorrow, by the way. Lake Elsinore.
Very excited about that.
Awesome, awesome. Heard nothing but the most amazing things about all of that. So you're driving up the coast, and are you borrowing a car?
A friend of ours, Chris Crawford, he writes for Baseball Prospectus. He's the lead prospect writer over there. He exchanged his car to us in return for a healthy sum. In return to him?
In U.S. currency.
In U.S. currency, of course. Right. Because we are not old enough to rent a car in the through the traditional methods.
Yes. And which, so instead of – I mean, we could. It would require a lot of explaining and fees.
And
fees.
Yeah. They, if you're not
– So what about like an editor at Baseball Prospectus? Couldn't they write, you know, to the rental car company and be like, hey, this is a legitimate journalistic enterprise?
Yes.
Legitimate is an interesting word that I would disagree with.
Now, again, this is the conversation we would have had before. We just got here in Chris's car.
Right. Yeah,
so it's a little too late now.
It's, okay. It was pretty cheap. Today. It was pretty cheap. You know, it's going to be a lot of driving. We tallied it up. I don't think it's on that post, but it's around 49 hours of total driving time, around 3,000 miles total. So,
sure. We talked to a kid last homestand that was biking every park, and it was like 11,
far more impressive than
11,000 miles biking.
Wow.
And these guys are complaining about borrowing a car and driving up and down California.
No complaints at all. We're extremely appreciative.
I don't think you could squat your own body weight, let alone
ride a bike.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
He can't squat 85 pounds, really.
No, he can't.
How about that?
On a good
day. He ate lunch today.
On a good day, man. Let me tell you.
So you guys, we can follow along, right? Baseball Prospectus, tell us how to follow the action.
So you can follow us on Twitter at CespedesBBQ. We're actually kind of launched our own Snapchat, so we're going to be taking pictures of what we're doing along the way, video.
I'm so frightened.
Kids love
you
the Snapchat.
You want to take a selfie? No. that sounds like my 15-year-old sister. No, so we're doing a Snapchat at follow CespedesBBQ. We're going to be taking pictures of video of what we're doing along the way. We're writing at Baseball Prospectus every day. And we're going to try and put out a little bit of podcast stuff here and there. But for the most part, that's where you guys can find us on the interwebs.
All right, that's it. Make sure you're following the Cespedes Family Barbecue Twitter account if you're not already. Legitimately funny baseball stuff, and now especially with the trip. Great time to hop on board if you haven't already. Their real names are Jake and Jordan. One of them attends Washington University in
St.
Louis.
But you'll never know which one.
The one in the blue shirt.
The one in the blue shirt.
Jake.
This is actually black. This is blue. It's like the dress.
Oh, no. Don't even go there.
Yeah.
Don't even go there. All right. So Cubs Padres tonight. Who you got? The Padres. Outstanding, of course.
Hey, I'm going to say Padres 4. Chris Bryant 3, Cubs 0.
Okay, I'll take it.
We got the
win's a win.
We got Despaigne on the mound. He's unstoppable at home. I'm excited. His eyebrows, I want to see his eyebrows up close.
He's awesome.
He's number 2 best manicured eyebrows behind Yoannis.
Yeah.
That's high praise.
All right.
Yeah. So it's just a Cuban trait.
Sure.
Yeah. If you want to generalize like that, I mean,
I'm just putting words in there.
No.
Oh, okay.
Don't put anything in my mouth.
No. With all that,
right. Jake and Jordan from Cespedes Family Barbecue. Follow them on the Twitter and follow their journey up the West Coast. 17 or 18 games in 18 days. Good luck. Get the 18th one in. Don't wimp out and take a whole driving day.
He's trying to wimp out Inland Empire. I'm trying to go.
66ers?
66ers. Yeah. I'm trying. That would be two games in one day.
By the way, we'll see. These guys are legit. In spring break of my junior year of college, I went to the University of Miami in Florida. And we did, I think, like 5 spring training games in 4 days. And we were very proud of ourselves. Like, we were like, this is the greatest trip ever. And not even close.
We've done it the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Last year it was, I think, 16 games in 15 days. So
that's how you have to do it.
Yeah, 16 and 15.
Yeah.
So. Day-night doubleheader?
Oh, yeah. It was a weird day.
A rain out. We left a game early and drove another hour. But last year we did 15 days. We went to Texas and back from D.C., where we're from. This year we thought we'd one up it, fly out to the best coast.
Hey.
You know, we're Tupac over Biggie, so it's good to be home.
Clearly.
That kind of makes me think of something. Do you try and stay for the entire game? Like, if there is a drive coming, I mean, what's sort of the line of demarcation with whether this counts or not?
Oh, well, I think it.
Counting is first pitch.
Okay.
Counting is first pitch, but
first pitch, we could be out of here and go.
We're out of here after the first pitch. Yeah. No, I think we try and stay as long as we can. It's important to be safe on the road.
Yes.
We don't like driving after like midnight 1, so if we need to leave a little early, we'll do that. Most nights we won't, though.
Don't Snapchat and drive.
Don't ever do that.
Ballpark food, is that going to be a big part of this?
Yeah, it's important. I mean, especially since obviously we're at a game every night, it's hard to go out and find a place to eat.
Fair enough.
In whatever cities we are at. So, yeah, it's important. But people around, especially up and down California, they're like, oh, stop at this place. So
all right,
you cool. should people try In-N-Out.
Yeah, we usually we don't That's have to tip. Resort to Yelp.
Okay, so. Very cool, man. Awesome. Yeah. We'll have a fun trip, a safe trip. Jake and Jordan at Cespedes BBQ.
Thanks.
On the Twitter. Outstanding. Patrick, we'll get you all hooked up with the food spots here at Petco and where you gotta take this thing in. Enjoy the trip. Thanks, guys, for coming by.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. How'd you like to guarantee the opportunity to purchase tickets to the 2016 All-Star Game? at Petco Park. That's right here. Become a Padres season ticket member at the Gold or Platinum level and lock in your chance to get tickets. Call 619-795-5555 or email tickets at padres.com to become a member today. It'll be here before you know it. Joe Butler on Twitter, best tweet from the segment with these guys. What a think tank, he wrote. That's exactly right. We'll take a break, come back. More Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio right after this.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour, live at the AMR studio at Petco Park. The Chicago Cubs are out on the field taking batting practice, getting ready for the rubber match between the Cubs and the Padres. Mike Grace is here. I'm Jesse Agler. Thanks to Jake and Jordan, Cespedes Family BBQ, for coming by.
Good kids, man.
Great kids. Seriously, you're 19 years old, and you're just taking in 17 games in 18 days.
I wish I would have done more stuff like that.
It's awesome.
I really didn't take advantage of the time. And then you get old and start working, and there's no time for those things.
You
anymore.
Don't really. That's the, I mean, people write the cliche. All you college kids out there, best times of your life, right? That's what everybody
really
always
is.
Says. And it is, because you have time to do nonsense like this.
Yep.
And that's awesome, man. Great kids, and I feel so old. So terribly old talking
right.
about it like that.
It was nice being on the couch with two other males and having room between us, because I've sat here with Bill and Randy before. Not quite as much room on the couch.
You guys fit nicely.
Yeah, we had a nice little gap between us.
It
was good.
There were no problems there. We'll talk a little bit more about last night's game.
Let's.
You know, it's a 3-2 loss, so you don't want to go crazy on the whole thing. But one thing we haven't mentioned. Look, Tyson Ross, nice outing, right? 7 innings, 3 hits, 4 hits, 3 runs, 3 walks, 8 strikeouts. But you could really argue, I think, the thing that did Tyson Ross in last night was the leadoff walk issued to Tsuyoshi Wada in the top half of the 5th inning. And on a full count, you walk the opposing pitcher, a guy that like strikes out when he comes to the plate 80-90% of the time over the course of his career. And that's a killer, man.
It really was.
And I hate to circle one moment in the scorebook, but like, you can't walk that guy leading off the inning, and he ends up having to pay for it.
No, and preface this, like we said with Ian the other day when he gave up the home run to Espinoza, it's the last thing you want to do, and Tyson knows that. It's not like we're saying anything he doesn't know, but you could tell how much it bothered him, because Tyson is probably one of the most stoic pitchers you'll ever see on the mound, rarely ever shows emotion, and at the end of that inning, he was visibly upset with himself, knowing he walked a pitcher that scored and lost the lead. That's how you know he knew how bad of a situation that was.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And look, the Padres offensively didn't have the opportunity, or they had the opportunities, didn't take advantage of the opportunities. Leadoff man reached in the 7th. Leadoff man reached in the 9th inning. There's some bunts that, you know, quote-unquote worked out or didn't work out as it would be. Padres unable to tie the game or take the lead. Hey, hat tip to the bullpen. Brandon Maurer, another 1-2-3 inning with a strikeout. That was in the 8th. He's looked really, really good the last couple of weeks, and that's encouraging as you try and get the whole thing going all at the same time.
Yeah, 10 consecutive scoreless innings for Maurer. He's looked great. Quackenbush, even though he got himself into a little bit of trouble, worked out of it. Benoit has been good lately. So the bullpen, which has struggled quite a bit, is really starting to settle into some roles. Dale Thayer's been really good for the most part, especially in games when there was a high-leverage situation. He'd given up some runs in a game that was already out of hand. But when it's mattered, he's been good. Kimbrel, still getting his saves, giving up some runs. And I think you said it yesterday. He knows what he's got to work with. So if he gives up a home run with a 2-run lead, he's not too worried about it. So he's still getting the job done. I don't worry about him settling in. So the bullpen's getting there. Now we just need the starting pitching to get there, and then the timely hitting, which did not happen last night.
No, that's happened again. Quackenbush also with the bullpen last night. He got the first two, pitched himself into a little bit of trouble there. All of a sudden the bases are loaded, and he pitched himself out of the trouble. And that was good to see. You know, not the getting in trouble, but the getting out of trouble.
It's a little bit of what he does. He's done that. He did that last year. Was very successful getting out of those situations, and it just seems to be what he does. Hey, you get the first two outs, you give yourself a lot of room to work with, and he made it work.
All right, remember, game time tonight is 6:10 p.m., not 7:10 p.m. That's why we're on earlier. One little thing to file away from last night, too. Will Middlebrooks, 2-for-4 with a double. He had really been struggling offensively. He's getting a couple more starts now, 7 for his last 23. You sort of hope that he starts going, and if he starts going, maybe Jed Jerks Yurko starts going. Those are the kinds of things, you know, we keep talking about wanting to see the Padres win 6 in a row or 8 out of 10. Yeah, the pitching is going to be part of that. But if Middlebrooks and Yurko start contributing at a higher level offensively, the likelihood of that good stretch happening goes way up.
You really need at least one more guy to get going, because for what, the last 2 weeks, it's basically been Upton and Norris carrying this team offensively, with a random guy like Venable having a good game here and there.
Yeah.
But those are the two main consistent guys. So you need a Middlebrooks, a Yurko, like Matt Kemp. It's really struggled last night. You know he's looking to get it going and start picking up some of the offensive load. So you need one more guy to get the offense really going where it needs to be, I'd say.
There you go. All right, we'll take a break when we come back, get to some Twitter questions. In addition to that, we're going to have our Supercuts head-to-head challenge. We'll determine the results of last night, and then Grace and Blooper will compete against one another for tonight's game as well. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Take a break. When we come back, your tweeter questions. This is Padres Social Hour, presented by United.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the AMR studio here at Petco Park. He's Mike Grace. I'm Jesse Agler. This is Padres Social Hour, presented by United. Thanks again to Jake and Jordan, Cespedes Family Barbecue, for hanging out. Now they're just taking in Padres Social Hour like fans, and we appreciate that. Starting their big road trip, you can follow along at baseballprospectus.com. Mentioned earlier, you can get in touch with us by using the hashtag on Twitter, PadresSH. And we're going to roll through some Twitter questions and comments now, Mike Grace. Are you prepared mentally for this?
I am. I'm absolutely prepared.
We're going to start with Joe Butler. We spoke earlier about quality starts, right, and how we found out via Friar figures that Padres starters have made more quality starts than any other team's starters in all of baseball. He says, my idea of quality starts would be that we're in better position in the standings than we are right now. Hashtag third place. I see what you did there, Joe. And, yeah, that's the thing, right? The 26 quality starts, which, again, six or more innings, three or fewer earned runs. But when you're winning big and losing big, that's where the win-loss record can sort of get skewed a little bit. Closer games the last two nights against the Chicago Cubs. But, look, we mentioned the quality start thing. Nobody is trying to say that that is the most important. The deal is the standings. The wins and losses are what matter. We all know that.
We know that, but there's always ways to measure things. And you would think, like I said, if you just looked at the numbers, you said, oh, you're getting all these quality starts and your team is scoring all these runs, they would have more wins than they do. But they don't. It's just, like we keep saying, it's just so weird that the pitching and the hitting has lined up so seldom at the same time that they're both doing both things well. That's why the record is what it is.
And that's sort of been one of those just anecdotal observations we've made. And here's maybe some stats to back that up. You know, so it sort of goes along with all of that. All right, Antti in Australia. This guy's awesome, by the way. He's always tweeting Padres. He's down under. They're like 32 hours behind from time zones. Or maybe they're in the future. I don't even know. But he's paying attention. And he goes, hey, today OD needs to show how much he wants and deserves a spot in the rotation. Padres need a win before heading up on the road. It is a big start for Odrys Amer, Despaigne, whose name can spell out San Diego Padres. There's no question.
No question at all. He definitely needs a good start, not only just for the team, but for himself. There aren't a lot of options behind him right now in the immediate future. Robbie Erlin is in AAA, but not doing the best. You've talked about maybe a Colin Ray below him, but Josh Johnson isn't very close. It sounds like Brandon Morrow is still at least a couple weeks away. So you want him to do well because the team needs him to do well and be the fifth starting pitcher for this team and carry them. Because, like we say, a winning streak also has your pitchers strong outing after outing several times in a row.
I don't need like a near no hitter out of Despaigne tonight. If he can give you six, seven would be great. Really nice, solid innings. One of those quality starts.
A quality start, exactly.
And the run support is there, then we're good. And you know, those three runs allowed start to look worse when you're only scoring one or two, as was kind of the case last night. And that's, again, why we want to see the pitching and the hitting in lockstep, successful all at the same time.
I'd just like to see him get through a few innings before he gave up any runs. I mean, like I said, I'd love a quality start. I think that's a great step and a great goal to shoot for. But get through the first few innings without giving up any runs, I think that changes the mindset of the whole team whenever you're still in the ballgame, and maybe you get that early lead and it changes the dynamic of you on the mound. So,
by the way, lady here in a Giants jacket.
Oh, my.
That's strange. We've had this conversation on the show several times about, you know, showing up to a ballgame in third-party gear and whether that's thumbs up or thumbs down. It's mixed response on Twitter, by the way. But she's rolling in with the San Francisco Giants sweater. They beat the Dodgers earlier, by the way, and that was a sweep. Dodgers are not scoring any runs anymore. Hopefully that continues this weekend. But, yeah, she's feeling very good about Madison Bumgarner and just rolls in to the Padre-Cub game in the Giants sweaters. Right here. She doesn't even know we're talking about.
I know. I can tell she's completely ignoring us. For me, I'm okay with a ball cap anywhere, but I don't go jersey, T-shirt on top of that. Because I think a ball cap.
So she's got like a track jacket, it looks like, of some sort.
Yeah, no, I'm not in complete approval, but
okay.
Bumgarner did take Kershaw deep today.
Like really deep, by the way.
And I wish Gar was here for this. With a big leg kick that he pauses and then just rips a fastball to left.
He hit it like halfway up the seats and left.
That was not fun for Kershaw.
My goodness. So, yeah, Dodgers shut out again. They've scored like two runs in the last week or something like that. And like I said, hopefully that continues. All right, one more Twitter, and then we'll get to the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. Anthony says, hey, if Yonder Alonso's injury is serious, is Tommy Medica an option to come up? He adds corner outfield depth as well. First of all, it sounds like Alonso's starting to maybe get a little bit closer. You know, he and Myers are two we're keeping an eye on. When they made this decision a little while ago, when Alonso got hurt, they didn't bring up Medica because he really wasn't hitting in AAA, and it's hard to be like, yeah, come on up, you know, when it's not happening. But, I mean, Tommy Medica now hitting .269 for the Chihuahuas, better than he was, one homer, 13 RBIs.
It's a little bit middling, especially for El Paso and the Pacific Coast League. But you got to think there's so many more injuries in this equation that matter. So when does Will Myers come back? Because he's obviously shown he can play first base. When does Melvin Upton come back? There's a new outfielder.
It's all tied in.
It's so many pieces. I would say things probably don't look great for Tommy right now. Alex Dickerson's actually been playing better than him in El Paso, and he's on the 40-man, so it's just easy to add him. Plus, I think he's a left-handed bat, so if you want the left-handed bat to replace Alonso, he might be the better option at this point.
All right, so there you go. Another couple of names to keep an eye on. You bring up some very good points there. We'll take a break when we come back. We've got our Supercuts head-to-head challenge. We will judge last night's competition, Blooper versus Randy. And today, Mike, you will choose for the couch, and we'll see who the winner is. Looking for paradise? Maui Waui Hawaiian presents delicious, made-to-order fresh fruit smoothies, as well as adult beverage smoothies. Visit the new Maui Waui locations inside Petco Park, at the Park at the Park, or the Mercado behind home plate, also located in Oceanside, Camp Pendleton, and Temecula. Take a break when we come back. Blooper and Grace, the head-to-head challenge. Padres and Cubs coming up.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the show with Mike Grace. I'm Jesse Agler. Padres Cubs coming up. Odrysimer Despaigne and Kyle Hendricks. Not Kendricks. Hendricks with an H. Don't confuse them. That's the pitching matchup tonight. All right, Grace. So we started this yesterday on the show, the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. And here's how this thing works. We like to put Seth Blooper, our producer, in competitive situations against the co-hosts because he gets really, really into it, and it can be funny at times. So we've started this now, the Supercuts head-to-head challenge, and it's basically Blooper versus the couch. And why the couch? Well, we have different co-hosts every day. Sometimes you're here. Sometimes Randy Jones is here. Sometimes Kurt Bavakwa is here. Sometimes Bill Center, and so on and so on and so forth. And so the couch is represented by whoever is here on the day. So you guys are like a team, and you're taking on Blooper. So it's one-on-one on a given day, but really collectively it's all of you guys against Seth.
It's really a lot of pressure. I don't want to let those other guys down.
That's it. You've got teammates. He's playing an individual sport. You're playing a team sport. And so how it works is we take a look at the lineup every day, and you each choose one of the starting nine for the Padres. And it's not a point system, all right? It's basically who has a greater positive impact on the game.
And I love that.
Your guy or his guy. And I decide. That's the real beauty of the operation.
It's beautiful.
Is that I choose. So you can take the pitcher. You can take the starting pitcher. And Blooper did that last night. He took Tyson Ross. So let's pull up the box score. And we know that Tyson Ross allowed three runs on four hits in seven innings. He walked three, and he struck out eight. He took the loss, but that's a good night for Tyson Ross.
Sure.
Justin Upton was the selection of the couch. Randy Jones selected Justin Upton, and what do you know? Justin Upton hit a two-run homer, the only offense of the night for the Padres. So to me, nice outing for Tyson. But I got to tell you, Seth, I think this is pretty much a no-brainer, and that Justin Upton makes the couch the winner of the first Supercuts head-to-head challenge. I will allow you to present your case very, very, very briefly here.
One for four, Upton.
Two RBIs.
Walk the pitcher.
Yeah.
And
eight strikeouts, seven innings.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I got to go with Justin Upton.
Couldn't agree more.
Which means, well, obviously, you're not impartial here. So the point goes, pull up the standings. The point goes to the couch.
Yeah.
So blooper is still stuck on zero, and the couch now has, you're losing to a piece of furniture. The couch now is up 1-0. But the good news is we're going to do this again today. So Grace will pick for the couch. Blooper will pick for himself. And we did the toss yesterday, but now we're going to alternate. So Blooper picked first yesterday. Grace gets to pick first today. Can we fire up the lineup? Do we have those technical capabilities? There it is. The Padres starting lineup presented by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United fly the friendly skies. So there you go. You can take Despaigne, and again, what he does on the mound and at the plate counts. You can take one of the position players. So, Mike Grace, you are choosing for the couch in the Supercuts head-to-head challenge, and you choose?
Justin Upton.
Oh, you're going with the hot hand.
Well, that's our guy. The couch already has Justin
Upton. Now, let
me
ask you a question. Is there anything in the bylaws, Seth, for the Supercuts head-to-head challenge that says somebody cannot choose the same guy back-to-back days?
No, you can go for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think about that guy? Should he be allowed to take the same guy two straight days in the head-to-head challenge?
There it is.
What do you say?
Ride him while he's hot.
All right.
I can't take him out of the lineup.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
It's my
guy. Buddy's rolling with him, you might as well be able to.
It's our guy.
All right, so you the couch is taking Justin Upton. Blooper, that leaves you with eight other possibilities, and you are going with?
You could take a reliever.
Matt Kemp.
Give him Benoit. hey, if he strikes out the side.
Hey, he was the sub of the game.
A couple of nights ago. You're taking Matt Kemp.
Yes.
You're both really stepping out on the ledge here tonight. Let me compliment you on your gutsiness. All right, so it's Upton and Kemp in the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. We'll watch the game tonight very closely to see who has a better night. Tomorrow, I will decide who wins the Supercuts head-to-head challenge.
When you're on the road, do I get to decide?
Whoever's hosting gets to decide.
Yes.
At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail. The cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. That is the head-to-head challenge. We'll take a break when we come back. Wrap up this Thursday edition, this rubber match edition of Padres Social Hour right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines. Jesse Agler, Mike Grace, we're having fun. We'll be back tomorrow at 5:30 before the game against the Dodgers. Dirty Kurt will be here. Mr. Bavacqua.
Doctor.
The doctor will be stopping by. Hey, Grace, I hate to do this to you because we don't often get... yeah, you can feel it. I'm going to put you on the Cholula hot seat. You are on the Cholula hot seat. We've talked a lot tonight about run differential and sort of quality starts, but still losing games and a lot of big wins, a lot of big losses, not a lot of close games. What do you prefer as a fan of the Padres who wants them to be successful? Would you rather like an 8-2 loss and then occasionally the 8-1 win and then the close loss, the close win? Where do you fall? Because we always argue about this, like when you lose, right? Would you rather lose 9-1 and you just sort of know it's over? Or would you rather lose 3-2 like last night and, you know, having some chances and not being able to cash in?
I would say close games. I'm going to watch every game, so I want to be engaged in the game. It's weird, the whole analytics thing. Run differential is a big determiner of
a lot
how
of the
good
Pythagorean
of
win-loss.
Right.
That goes there.
So,
we're talking Pythagorean.
I'd like to hear somebody that's much smarter than us tell us what this season means for the Padres. With all these blowout losses, how much do you look at their run differential to determine how good they are?
Are
I don't
you suggesting there are people smarter than we are out there?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah, no.
All right, now I get what you're saying. That's like when you see a lot of those preseason prognostications about win-loss record and everything like that. Yeah, a lot of it's weighted somewhat heavily, I believe, on expected runs scored, runs allowed. And then, you know, that's something that people track over the course of the season. And look, mathematically, it is difficult to win a lot of games if you've got a negative run differential for obvious reasons. All right, nice job on the Cholula hot seat. Cholula is the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap for a punch of delicious jalapeno and poblano. Check out the new green pepper sauce flavor today. Love the green pepper sauce flavor. Hey, thanks to the Cespedes Family Barbecue guys for coming by. Follow their trip progress at baseballprospectus.com. I mentioned Jeff Garland very much in passing yesterday, the actor, the comedian. He's going to be at the La Jolla he's in La Jolla tomorrow night doing stand-up. Check that out. He's a huge Cub fan, so he's dilly-dallying with those guys. But it was cool to see him around the ballpark today. Huge baseball fan. He'll be up in La Jolla tomorrow. We didn't get him on the show, but I still hope you enjoy his comedy tomorrow night if you're not at home watching the Padres and the Dodgers on Fox Sports San Diego. Have a great night. We'll be back tomorrow at 5:30.